All right, what it is, what it do. Welcome to another episode. Stillgate. With your host, El Capitan. With my co-host, Color Commentary. Tonight, on the tailgate party that never seems to stop, getting into some NFL football Miami Dolphins news. We're going to talk about some stuff. We're going to look into, I mean, bro, we got football in like 48 hours, Color. We if it was Thursday, we'd be watching a game. It's Tuesday.
Oh, and a great game it is. They got.
I can't wait for this game. I got a
NFL
bet.
Done good.
Color, I got a bet. I picked a 16-leg parlay. I picked all my winners.
I saw that. 16-leg parlay, huh? I heard about that.
I put together a 16-leg parlay. I picked all the games. I'm going to win. If this one smacks, Color, first of all, if I crack this out the park, first of all, it'll be legendary, right? That's number one. Number two, I'm buying a badass new setup, right? Like
I was gonna say, things will obviously improve around here. You know what I mean?
I won't tell people I got money, but there will be signs. You feel me? Right? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, you should see the lunchroom around here. It's like, man, it's trash. We need the
TFTG Network home office's lunchroom.
We need a foosball table. We need all kinds of stuff, man.
He's right. I got to get together the home offices and get them put back
together. Bowling
alley?
Can we have a bowling alley if you win?
No bowling alleys. It's there's a mechanical dredging and a little bit of a zoning thing with sound. Mm-hmm. We're already pushing our luck with the audio stuff, but we have it all insulated. So maybe, you know, now that you think about it. But then now the insulation bill, I don't know if we can afford it. Right? Helicopter is really what I'm after.
Range. We could have a shooting range?
If we're going to go shooting range, we might as well. No. No, we're not doing it. So, yeah, no, we got to that helicopter's really the creme de la creme for that TFTGnetwork.com. That would be dope. Helicoptering around. That would be good. Hit the like button, everybody, on your way in. Impromptu go on live show, so the algorithm will do us zero favors this evening. We're going to get into what I believe to be the one stat that is the most important that the Dolphins need to address and improve upon this year. And we're going to go into, I want to know what other people think. What is this stat? So, but hit the like button, subscribe if you're new. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or anywhere else you get podcasts, come over to YouTube, subscribe over here, check out the network, get in with chat in the community. Also, wherever you guys are listening, come over to YouTube, and the best way to find us is tftgnetwork.com. Links to everyone and everything with the network here, and let's get right into it.
Turner Yell makes the stop in the secondary for Denver. First and 10, the fake, good, block in there, and down it goes, caught at the 30. This is the dynamic hill. He's in for six. Tyreek Hill, touchdown.
To your hands a plan, your own hands can land your own brand, and damn, I feel like no one takes accountability. They want the credibility, convincingly unwilling to put in the hours it takes to get some power. Don't be f***ing sour, take a cold shower, scream until you're louder, work until you're prouder, and f*** all the doubters, they're just your downers. I swear to God they all let me down. I always fought just to wear the crown. I'm
Yes, again, welcome to the Finn's Tailgate with your host El Capitan, with my co-host Color Commentary here tonight. So I mean, Color, we're close, right? We're right around the corner. I mean college so football. Close,
my veins are already starting to turn a little bit aqua, man. Ooh. The blood's starting to flow.
It's crazy. Your veins went aqua because mine go orange.
My arteries go orange.
No, see, it's the flip for me, dog. Crazy.
Oh, wow, weird.
Yeah, I know. Huh. Yeah, so
I'm... Did you get any rain Sunday? It's kind of been rainy around here the past couple days.
I mean, it's Florida. You can bet on rain at any given moment. Whether or not it'll rain at the game, it could downpour in the parking lot and not rain in the game.
I know, right?
So... Hit the like button, everybody. MCJB in here first. What's going on? Flava J in his second. Up, hit dude? The like button, Flava J. Coach Dragoon, what's up? Hit the like button.
Duke's up
Duke,
in here.
Duke in here. Duke Daniel. In. Duke it in here. Daniel Barry, Sharif, Jess making the triumphant entrance.
Everybody, watch out now.
Mm-hmm. Should be keeping record of everything. Around. Sack man, what's good, buddy? Salute. It's fins up forever, but it's actually go fins.
Hmm. I know. I can't handle it.
I can't either, bro. I thought I got to be honest, right? We haven't talked about this color. We kind of just ignored it, but the season is upon us, and this might be a good time to kind of talk about this. Fins up, lost. We lost it. Got took. Now it's go fins. And go fins does not work. And to me,
like, can you, like, I mean, did they stay up all night to think of that one?
That's what, thank you, color. Thank you. Like, where was,
let's just put a go in front of it, everybody. Yeah,
take away the up. Take away the up. Okay, so fins. Everybody likes fins. Let's just go with fins, right? Go fins. What?
Peduncle power would be better than go fins.
See, color, the peduncle is, let's call it for what it is. It sounds pretty sexual, honestly. It sounds like,
well, something. Well, I mean, dirty. It is what makes a dolphin the king of the ocean. You know what I mean?
They're peduncles.
Yeah, they're peduncles, yeah. It's where they derive all their power from.
That's disgusting. I derive all my power from my peduncle. Hi-o.
I mean, that's the only one I can think of. Like, what else would there be? Super snouts? I mean, I don't know.
Super snout sounds really fucking stupid. I'm not gonna lie.
Agreed.
Like, let's this go fins. It isn't really catching on, right? It's not.
The only problem with peduncle power is it's really long. That's the only. It doesn't work for a good quick hashtag. That's the only reason it sucks.
You know what the hashtag would end up being? Hashtag PP. That's what it would be for peduncle power. And that's just not going to sit well with
right. And you certainly can't shorten peduncle. That wouldn't work either.
No,
we don't even need to talk about it. That would be, yeah.
Yeah. It only gets dirtier the more you shorten it. So let's just leave that there. So let's get off the peduncle.
Peduncle punch?
Still PP. You know what I'm saying?
Porpoise punch? Yeah, we could do.
See, now porpoise is a nice word, and it resonates, and it doesn't take any thought. And if you don't know what a porpoise is, it's you're an idiot. But I could see how it porpoise. See, look, Kevin Lee, Fin Nation, like that.
Fin Nation, yeah.
It could have been good, like a Fin Nation, right? Like that's kind of
Fin's Ocean.
Fin's Ocean. Not on a C, but
that's too many S's in a row.
Why didn't they just do P-H-I-N-S up?
Right.
Could have done that, fins with a P.
Right. Isn't that changed enough for the copyright? Yeah.
And well, that with their logo on it, right?
I mean, how do you trademark fins up anyway? Like, what if we were talking about salmon?
Well, they're talking about sharks with fins up.
Right, exactly.
They're not even talking.
Nobody would confuse a dolphin with a shark, I don't think.
I mean, I'm sure plenty have in Panic in the Ocean. But I mean,
people confuse Marlins with Dolphins. I don't, you know, like for some reason, people think that baseball team is going to ever be good, you know.
Well, because every 14 years they do something, they make noise.
There you go. Kevin Lee's got it. Snowflake. That's the original name of our mascot.
Problem with Snowflake being the original thing, and now Snowflake has a whole new meaning in 2024, right? Like,
right, true.
I don't need hashtag snowflakes. That's first, we're gonna get all kinds of traffic we don't want. Okay. That's number one. Number two, I don't know, man. Like, I would have fought harder for Fins Up, right? I'd have said that, I'd have been like, no. Why didn't
terrible tunas?
We're not tunas though.
I know, that's the joke. Nobody else can call us tunas if we take ownership of it and call ourselves tunas.
Brad Boss says over the past 30 years, Marlins done more than the Dolphins, unfortunately, and that ain't no that's fucking
true.
Line.
That's true.
That is not capping at all. That's a sad, cold fact that is best served chilled. I don't know, man. Well, whatever. I think we can end with this. Fins Go was not, is not, or Go Fin, is it? It's Go Fins. See, it's just not catching on,
it
right?
Really is bad.
It's really not. And Miami Dolphins, I know you're listening. Just reach out to us in any means at all, and we will put together a campaign to find the right hashtag for right. 2025. Right? We can't do anything about it now. I understand that. But between now and the off season, just make that small connection like you guys have before, and we'll put it together, right? Like me and the guys here. That's what we'll do. So let's move on, Color, because I think they should do TFTG Network, hashtag TFTG Network, but, you know, that's just us. That would be the best.
That would be cool, yeah.
That would be pretty dope.
Well, we are about filling vacuums around here, you know?
You know that little, you know when you put in, like, a hashtag and it puts, like, a little symbol there, right?
Right, right.
I wonder if I can get HB to figure that out for the maybe, little well, you'd TFTG have to, symbol.
You'd have to like petition Elon some kind of way to.
Nah, I just gotta see. There might be some form of code entry / payola thing that needs.
Oh, of
to
course,
happen.
It's payola.
Well, and it might be worth it, right? Might be.
But
worth
so
it.
Far, they've only allowed. It looks like they've only allowed like sports to do it, but. I mean, I can't see why you wouldn't eventually have, like, you know, other, you know, I don't know who, but maybe like you hashtag a movie hashtag
TFTG up, little, up maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Or I'm thinking hashtag TFTG net, right? Something like that. I don't know. We'll workshop that too. Jesus, Scrappy, what the fuck?
I know, right?
Scrappy's on one. He always on one. Salute to the Scrap. I see Scummy making his way through here as well. And Adam, hit the like button, everybody. Kevin Lee getting in here. Hit the like button, family.
And no, Scummy, we have not traded Tua yet.
That's not however, the number one stat to improve either.
However, I know somebody we all know that is completely scrapped Tua from his entire fantasy roster.
Who's that?
As well as every other Dolphin on the team.
Who?
Oh, you haven't heard?
No.
Oh, I don't know if I want to say no names, man.
Oh, come on, bro. Someone scrapped them all on their roster. Was it Miss Fins?
Well, from what I hear, this guy had my name in his mouth when I was on vacation. You know, because apparently you insinuated, this is what I heard today, is that you insinuated that I went on vacation because I was exhausted and I needed time away, and it made it sound like it was because Tua signed his contract. He blamed you.
Oh, well, that's actually pretty good work by him, considering I left him brain dead last time I seen him.
Well, pretty good work if he wasn't talking to somebody that knew better, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's I can see you saying something like that, but he's the one that made the stretch to it had anything to do with Tua. And in actuality, I was in Colorado because that's where Mike McDaniel is from, and that's where they held the signing ceremony for Mike McDaniel's extension. Right. I was an integral part of those negotiations to get Mike McDaniel his contract signed.
I don't know why you got to flex on him like that, Color, but I guess you got to put homie in his place. Go ahead.
I did.
It's crazy.
And, bro, he don't have no Dolphins on his roster. And you know what else? He picked Patrick Mahomes, right? Oh, G's busting the mustard. Yep. G squirted out the toothpaste.
Yep, can't go back in now, Batman.
Yeah, Batman.
Yeah, Batman.
Not only did he pick Patrick Mahomes as his starting quarterback, guess who his backup is?
Josh Allen.
Justin Herbert.
No. No.
Yes.
Well, then he's lost all credibility to him being he must have got that to an ear tramp stamp on his back laser.
He doesn't have
something.
A single Dolphin on his roster.
I remember, I think it was off season 2021. No, had to have been like off season 2022. Batman, I saw him during the season. He had a bandage on his back. I was like, oh, what's up, man? He's like, oh, nothing, you know, got a new tattoo. And I was like, all right, cool. And sometime later came out that it says Tuanir. He got a Tuanir tramp stamp right on his back, you know, in the in like that LA old school LA brush gang, like a tag gang lettering said Tuanir, like a loco, like he was loco for Tuanir.
I guess you're allowed to pick Justin Herbert when you get the
Well, this Tua is the stamp. Thing I'm wondering now. No, well, here's the thing I'm wondering. There was rumors as much as like 6 months ago that he was getting it lasered off because, you know, he's got some other stuff going on in his life. I'm guessing he got that to an ear tramp stamp lasered off, and
I wonder if they did it line by line, so it still says to an ear, but now it's
X Factor,
the big scar.
Yep, that's the. Oh damn, G! All right, G going too deep. All right, so let's actually get to the reason we're here, right? Couple of reasons. There's a lot of things this team can improve, right? Always. But I think.
No, are you kidding me?
I mean, every team can improve, right?
I thought we had 53 gods on our team.
Damn, Green Rat coming up in the crib. What's up, Green Rat?
Look at the cat dragged in.
Yeah, cat drug in or Green Rat. Look at that.
Right? Apropos.
How apropos.
You just spit it out at our feet like your cat does when they bring in a mouse. You know, it's like you're supposed to do something with it. Like,
I'm supposed to look and be pleased. I'm supposed to be pleased.
Normally you go in that room in there and you do a bunch of stuff on top of the counter and out comes hot food. So I have brought this mouse to you and I was expecting you to do something with it. So you're supposed to take it into that room in there.
See. When my cat used to win
it on the counter that humans do, and then it comes out nice and hot for me. That's what the cat's thinking.
I don't know. I think my cat always, I thought she used to do it for a thing of dominance, right? She would just eat the brains out of everything. I'm dead serious. I don't care. If there's a hawk, if it was an eagle, if it was an owl, if it was a squirrel, whatever it was, rats as big as my foot. I didn't know Florida had rats this big, right? Like that she would get. And
I would always bring in birds, man. Like, damn.
Everything, dude. This cat killed mercilessly. And then my other cat, that's my daughter's cat, really. Down in South Florida, he was on a straight regular diet of fucking rabbits. Like that cat probably ate 2 rabbits a month, easy.
Well, we don't get a lot of those down in South Southern area.
Yeah, well, over where I was at in Cape Coral, they had a rabbit infestation.
Oh, I bet.
That's all I know, bro. And that cat was eating good. Like, he wouldn't eat at home for days. Sometimes he'd be gone for days. He would eat rabbits and fight neighborhood cats. And that was totally out of character for him. But he was just about it there. It was a different time in his life. Now he's chilled out a little bit.
Yeah. Florida cats are badass. They got so many things to deal with.
Carlos says the best stat would be Tyreek Hill 1,200 receiving yards. That will mean we have a balanced offense.
Yeah, I was just thinking, Carlos looking for addition through subtraction. You know,
honestly,
in other words, you could see getting a lower number of yards for a player would actually be an improvement for the team stat-wise. I could see that. That's kind of a reverse psychology type take there, you know?
X factor. That's a wild pussy right there, bro.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I'm telling you, you don't fuck with the Florida
street. Nah, hell nah. Nope. My buddy, who he's got this black cat, black with white spots on it. He's moved all over. He's lived with me some. He moves everywhere. And he's taking this cat with him. And this cat, this cat goes to the beach with him. He found this cat fishing on an island down in Lauderdale or Pompano. Found it, brought it home, kept this cat. This cat don't need nothing but him. That's it. It just hangs with him. Yep. No matter where he's going or what he's doing, cat's going with him. And that's how that's a Florida cat right there.
Now, if we get invaded by the Russians or something, then Florida cats are going to, they're going to mount up, you know, and next thing you know, they're like our own little personal army of cats. So you got to be careful.
Personal army of everything, bro. Like, could you destroy Florida? Yes. Could you conquer Florida? Never. You could never conquer Florida. You could destroy it for sure. But you could never conquer this land right here, dude. There is no conquering of the Florida peoples.
Mm-hmm.
It's the I forget when we were saying this the other day. It said
we shoot rockets up here and shit.
There's only one man in the whole country, and that's the Florida man. The rest are, you know, cowboys or whatever. Everybody, there's only one man, and that's the Florida man. And everybody know that. No matter where he at.
Everybody should be a Floridian first.
Well, eventually you do become a Floridian at some point. Whether you were living here or not, you get with it. So,
who scores the first touchdown? Kevin Lee asks. And Hooked Up Joe says a better run to pass ratio on third and short. Yeah, I could see that.
I'm going to go. It's going to be something dumb. It's going to be like Braxton Berrios. I want to say Achan too, but look, Achan. I could see because Achan could get a pass or a rushing touchdown, right?
I'm going to go with my old trusty that I've gone with every season so far, and it hasn't worked out yet, but it's going to eventually.
River Craycraft?
Durham Smythe.
Oh my God! This might be this might be it, Color.
21 yards into the corner of the end zone, falling away.
This might be it, dude. That's
over the head of a short corner. Yep, telling you, it might be it. I'm going with Durham Smythe.
Jonnu Smith, ABAB. I could see Jonnu getting
tight end one. By the way, oh, interestingly enough, Cap. Before we move into the stat improvement discussion, what do you think about this depth chart, man?
The depth chart, huh? I've got the depth chart.
Yeah, it came out today.
Right,
it's
here,
got
color.
I've if got I was right reading right, screen. if the I read off the website, so if the website is updated properly, we've got Jonnu Smith and Tanner Connor listed as fullback 2 and 3, respectively.
I'm looking at it right here.
Yeah, and we got Durham Smythe and Julian Hill as tight end 1 and 2.
So if you look at the differences, mostly that Alec Ingle does differently than we asked Julian Hill and Durham Smythe to do. The truer tight ends versus the truer fullback, right? The main difference is the alignment and the blocking assignments. Alignment and blocking assignments. And I'm guessing that the Dolphins are looking at the speed that Jonnu Smith possesses, as well as the speed that Tanner Connor possesses, and thinks, hey, with space in front of them, 5 yards off the ball, coming out of the backfield on dump off passes or even sweeps, right?
Right.
That them building momentum using their speed is more valuable to me than how I want them to play true tight end. Using them as flexed out as a wide receiver.
The other thing is, notice that there's more fullbacks listed than tight ends. And I think this goes to, other than bragging rights for takes like, oh yeah, Durham Smythe is tight end 1 and Jonu is fullback 2. You know, look, that's your first instinct. But really what you're looking at here is a West Coast roster that says, hey, like I keep telling everybody, if your hands touch the football and you're a running back, a tight end, a fullback, a wide receiver, whatever, in a West Coast system and the type of system Mike McDaniel is designing, you, every one of those are considered blanket receivers. And so they can all be utilized in any position, at any spot on the field, any time, any formation, any package. And so what I look at here is Mike McDaniel, because all of these guys, if you really look at them standing next to each other, Alec Ingle's a little shorter than the rest, but they're all pretty much the same guy with each one of them possessing their own special attribute. You know, Jonnu Smith, big time athletic, you know what I mean? Complete Adonis when it comes to an athlete. Can allow for better separation, more catch radius, stuff like that. Like Cap's saying, utilized along the line and in the backfield. Then you got Smythe. Obviously, his percentages of taking care of the football are really high. You know, it's almost his superpower. Then you got, you know, Alec Ingle, you know, can bust up the middle, open up any block, any hole. You got Julian Hill, kind of the same characteristics as Jonu. And then you got Tanner Connor, who might be a little sloppier than the rest, but is starting to catch the football better and is a pretty decent athlete himself. What I'm trying to say is, you're looking at all guy, what are there, 5 guys total? They're all doing the same thing. And this is what I was trying to say when we were picking the 53-man rosters, is it's likely you're going to have guys that are bridging the two rooms together. In this case, it looks like the guys are different than I thought they would be, but it's still the same scenario. You've got 5 guys that are virtually can do each other's job. And Mike McDaniel needed to find a way to get them all on this roster. If that means they're fullback 2, fullback 10, tight end 4, whatever it might need to be called. And I think that's what you're looking at here. I don't think there really is much water to hold to it other than getting an indication, like Cap is saying, of what their specialty might be in our offense and what, you know, how Mike McDaniel might utilize them over the other guys.
Don't they have a term for that? Isn't it go by like the H-back or something like that? It's like a hybrid running back / do it all.
Nah, not really, I guess. They just do the fullback tight end combo is pretty much how it's always been.
Yeah,
now.
But if you look at like even Tanner Connor, for example, right? His skill set is, yeah, he's a tight end who really knows.
He's more of a wide receiver tight end combo.
Yeah. Right. But we've also seen Alec Ingle line up in the slot or even the flank and going into the deeper parts of the secondary.
I don't know. I'll tell you what it does look like. Confusing to pin down who's doing what and where, right? Exactly. Like, by the way in which this this roster is written, you could have Durham Smythe, Julian Hill, Jonnu Smith, and Raheem Mostert all on the field at the same time. In positional alignment to as such on a 21 personnel or something like that. You know, like
Because look, Jonnu Smith might be lined up as a fullback on a certain play. And then the quarterback gets to the line, reads the defense, barks out whatever the check is. And then all of a sudden, that fullback, Jonnu Smith in this case, might adjust up into a tight end or a slot position and run something totally different than what it was originally going to be for the fullback. So it's literally being able to put any one of your receivers at any point on the field, on any play, in any situation.
Malik Washington solidifying himself as wide receiver 4, as we can see. Braxton Berrios going to be the third wide receiver. Obvious targets going to Hill and Waddle. The one thing I did want to point out before we get off this roster, because the other surprise, and for those who are like, oh, we don't have a backup left guard. No, we do. It's Lester Cotton. He's an essential swing guard. Mm-hmm. And that's they'll figure that out later.
Include Tony Page in that group too, with Keith Byers playing fullback and tight end.
So a couple of other things on the roster. Benito Jones getting the start over Peely and Hand, which I guess if we were wondering how those guys lined up, because I had Benito Jones and Peely in my roster and not Hand. And I was like, wow, did Hand beat out Jones? But no, it was Benito Jones that beat those guys out just by how they're done. That's just something I wanted to point out. Quentin Bell being the backup outside linebacker to Jalen Phillips tells me they plan on having him play. Now, Emmanuel Ogba is the other outside linebacker, which I'm excited to see how he plays. I think we can all anticipate Jalen Phillips on a snap count, right? I mean, I'm anticipating it. I don't know if it's a certainty, right? But hold on a second. I just messed up there. I don't know if it's a certainty, but I'm wondering, are they going to, if Phillips does come out, will they put Chop there, or will they have Emmanuel Abba go over to the other side? I don't know, right? Am I just reading too much into this depth chart right here?
I did think it was interesting seeing Chop behind Ogba. I think that may just be the experience factor.
Yeah, it's got to be, right? Not that I think, you know, it's the wrong play, right? And
Ogba is good enough that his experience outweighs whatever Chop brings to the table.
Well, I also think this Weaver style scheme is going to fit Ogba's skill set more too. Mm-hmm. Also, the other big thing, Sirianne Neal coming in as the backup to Jalen Ramsey right away, which is, I think that means Ethan Bonner is the number one backup right now for Kendall Fuller and Jalen Ramsey. So look to see Ethan Bonner on the field at some given moment in the next couple of games, right?
Oh, yeah, that's a fluid position right there. That's a position where they're not, I mean, most of the time you're going to have those guys in the secondary either through rotation or scheme change situation or out of fatigue, you're going to have Ethan Bonner coming in the game at some point, plenty, you know.
So, lastly, Kader Kohou. Who is the backup? Who's the backup to Kader Kohou? And this is what, you know, kind of now on the game day roster, maybe they'll have Nick Needham elevated in this situation, right? But if they don't, this is the game day roster, right? Who's the backup if Kader goes down? I wondered, and I think it was Dade I was talking to in the spaces earlier because I brought up this question. Does Jalen Ramsey slide back there? And they elevate Ethan Bonner opposite Fuller?
Good question.
Would it be...
Ramsey has never been known to play the other side in corner, though. That was one of his knocks. In other words, that's one of the things that they say separates him from primetime is that he won't play both sides.
I think that's bullshit. I think he can play.
He plays both sides. That was an old thing. I think that was the thing coming out.
Well, you know how narratives linger.
I think that was the one coming out when he went to the Rams. Yeah. That's what that was.
It was the knock on Richard Sherman too.
I think the situation with Kader Kuhu and who his backup is fluid. I think it's going to be based on who we're playing against, what we have available, the scheme, kind of what Color said. I think that's a position where you might see a rotation of different players come in as backup for him.
So, it is down in the box nickel. You can ask safeties to play that typically. I kind of like Elijah Campbell because I know him the most. I would imagine also you could bring in someone else to do what Poyer does and have Poyer play in the nickel.
Didn't we bring one in today for the practice squad or yesterday? Or hold on a second.
We brought somebody in. That was a linebacker, I thought.
McClendon? What is he, a linebacker? Oh, yeah, he's a linebacker. Derek McClendon. Okay.
Yeah, there was a linebacker we brought in. Yep, that's what it was. I just Needham has got to get elevated game day roster, which was always – it freaked me out when they took a shot on having him, not on their 53. But – You see, Bishop saying Marcus May can come up and sub in. I don't know that. I don't know Marcus May. I know of him. I think this is his seventh NFL season. Or is that Cyrianne Neal? I think it's Marcus May that's his seventh season. There's also some stuff with Cyrianne Neal, right? I know I'm not putting Storm Duck in at nickel. That is a recipe for disaster. Rookies that play boundary well, that get thrown into the slot, get absolutely chewed the fuck up.
What did Kader Kuhu play by his rookie season?
Came in and elevated himself as the nickel. He was competing for it. That was the year that Nick Needham went down with injury.
So he came in and elevated himself as the nickel, right?
Kader Kuhu came from Nowheresville.
What I'm getting at is that the precedence is there that it can happen. So what's to say that it can't happen again? Not saying that Storm Duck will do it, but I'm at least rooting for him to do it.
No, he can't do it.
Okay.
I'm telling you right now.
Happened before, though.
No, I haven't.
Yes, you did. Dude, you're just as bad as Batman. Flip-flopping hypocritical.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. That's bullshit.
You're letting Batman, play puppeteer in your head right now. That's a lie.
First of all, nobody fucking tells me nothing, okay? This brain is all mine and mine only. If I even let you see inside the terror that is up here, your hair would go white and you would freeze up like in the Poltergeist.
My hair is already white, bro. You're not doing nothing.
You would go white and become gaunt and fall down as a skeleton man. Kader Kuhu
didn't even put a dolphin on his roster.
I know it's a
Kader Kuhu didn't come here as some boundary corner getting thrown. That just didn't know.
Hold on. What I'm trying to tell you is that I know it's a far chance that Storm Duck does that, but let's not pretend that it hasn't happened before. That's all I'm saying.
Nope.
Okay. What time is it? Hoover. It's 10:09 on September 3rd. We got receipts.
No.
We got receipts. This show is recorded. I'll be clipping it after the show. Okay.
Yeah, Chef Jew will make note of it. He's usually good at that. And shout out to Chef Jew. Good evening.
Chef, don't be lying on me.
The ambassador.
And, is that DTA in chat?
That is DTA. I was just about to mention it.
Let me make sure it's not a fake account, though.
King DTA.
There's around here.
Yeah, there's a lot of cat.
We have to make sure we're working with the right cat for life, too. We never know.
Yeah, I want to make sure it's not another cat for life situation.
Oh my God, that was the worst. What is Cap for Life doing?
Cap, you gotta go. You gotta go into your phone, into your Google settings, and have it log out of every device.
Why?
So whoever's got your old phone can't log into Google anymore.
No one's got my old phone.
Not you, Cat for Life.
Oh, Cat for Life.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he does have a lot of old episodes of ours on his channel. So when he did Dolphins debrief.
Yes.
Yeah, so it is the real DTA.
No, and there's no narcs, but somebody got a hold of one of Cat for Life's old phones or something that was still logged into Google.
So
or either that or somebody knows how to spoof somebody's account really well.
Taking a look at the depth chart, as we just did, we'll double back to the question. What's the number one stat the Dolphins must improve this year? Now, okay. You could say, you could be a smart ass and be like, the win column. Fuck you. No. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
One stat we absolutely need to blow out of the water this year if we want to get anywhere.
Uh-huh.
I honestly think if we did this last year, we would have made that deep run that everyone says that's coming for the Miami Dolphins. Wow.
What is it?
The turnover stat. Ooh. We need to increase interceptions like 20 some over fold, bro.
You know, we're supposed to get that out of Vic Fangio's defense because that's what Vic Fangio defenses were known for. And we never got
it. It didn't happen, bro. It was a lie.
Right. Well, it wasn't a lie. That's what his defenses are known for. We just didn't get it.
To be honest, somebody spoofed Vic Fangio and we got the spoof. That's what
I'm saying. Look, if you're talking about the year his defenses didn't get turnovers, it happens to be our year. Yeah, that's true.
But that is my key to the season, bro. The turnover game, we need to dominate.
That's a good one.
Those Vic Fangio defenses that were so dominant, it always came where they would have one of their DB playmakers roaming around in the secondary just stealing footballs. And he never seemed to do that with any of you got Ramsey and Holland.
I mean, for a moment, we saw Chubb get one, you know what I mean, slapping around the football, but that was it. It never panned out after that.
So, no, it's not the turnover margin that I'm thinking of, right? Penalties, so, Fred says. False starts, penalties, illegal motions, penalties. Yeah, I mean, listen, that's an important one. Holding, there's not that, but that's not the stat I'm looking of. I want to see if anyone's going to get it. Carla was pretty close.
I got Carla a pretty, was pretty close. One, but I'm trying to remember what it was.
I forget what Carla said. Carla, type it back in chat again. What stat?
She's calling for more balanced wide receiver stats, basically.
This
is a really good one.
That's pretty close, right?
I got a great one.
Yeah.
And it's the key to our entire season. It's the key to any championship season, and it was the key to the Chiefs season last year. Points per game on defense. Not only do we need to have it is below 20 points per game, but we need to be scoring more on defense, which goes to the turnover ratio that Ali was talking about, kind of supplemented by that. You know what I mean? We have got to get where we're now creeping up. I didn't really look at the final last year, but we're creeping up to 23, 24 points per game when we were consistently at 21 throughout Flores' tenure and into the beginning of McDaniel's tenure. Now, all of a sudden, that's creeping up there, and it's not so much that, yeah, we're our offense did too. We're at 30 points per game, but that becomes situational. And so if we're giving up 23 points per game, the particular games that we don't score 70, we're scoring less than 24, and that's why we're losing those critical ball games. I really think if we can get our number back down to 20, 21, and championship level would be below 20 points per game, that is the key to the Dolphins going a long way, if not winning the Super Bowl itself.
So, third and short is one. So, honestly, when it was third or fourth and short and the Dolphins ran the ball, they were more successful than when they passed. So that's something that's kind of a little bit of what I'm talking about. Adam says sacks, drops coming in here. Carla said, read that for me.
Carla says, we have a risk-taking defense, and that will hurt us starting out, but come the winter, it will make us champions. Well, yeah, and that's kind of, I think that's kind of been the Dolphins' MO for like my whole life, was having that fast twitch. Yes, you can get taken advantage of, especially earlier in the year when people are, you know, are using that speed and agility against you. But come time when it's like in when everybody's expecting it to be nice and cool down here, but it's not. It's a muggy Thursday or Monday or Sunday night, and our defense gets on fire. Yeah, absolutely, Carla. I agree with that. But even those defenses, like Jason Taylor defenses with Zach Thomas all them years, they all were like 20 points per game or lower. I mean, we were consistently 1-2 with those Ray Lewis defenses. People forget. Go look back at those years. Miami was in the top, you know, 1-5 right along with the Ravens every one of those years.
That ain't no lie. And we were top in passing. It was non-existent in rushing, and it killed us. We were a one-dimensional team with a great defense. Always, it seemed like, right? So, look, Shelby Gordon says their record. See, I told you somebody would say it. So I'm going to go ahead and get to it. I'm going to give you an interesting stat, right? Tyreek Hill played in 17 games last year, including the playoffs, right? 8 of those games, he went for over 100 yards. 9 of those games, he didn't. Their record, when Tyreek Hill goes over 100 yards in a game, is 8-0. Their record for when Tyreek Hill goes under 100 out of the 9 games is 1-8.
Ouch.
Let me repeat that for the people in the back. Every game Tyreek Hill went over 100 yards, the Dolphins won. In all but one game did he not go for 100 yards, the Dolphins won.
Which means we're not supplementing him with anything.
That's the second part to my stat that needs to improve. Right? Teams at some given point are going to say, I don't care. We're going to do bracketed double coverage. We're going to put man-to-man with our best guy on Tyreek, and we're going to have underneath help, and we're going to have over-the-top help, and we're going to scheme it in a flex pattern. That's what they're going to do. When they go soft coverage, they'll have underneath help. When they go man-to-man, they'll have over-top help. So, that being said, eventually a team is going to scheme that up. The Dolphins either need to say, fuck it, and scheme everything up to get Tyreek Hill free and make sure he gets over 100 yards in the air every game and really get that 2,000 yards. Or they need to do what it appears that they have done by getting more talent in more areas to utilize that game. Because you're going to get into later in the year, into the playoffs, and these teams that are really good are just going to say, I don't care. Tyreek Hill ain't catching nothing on us today. You have to beat us with everyone else.
Let me ask you this. You're saying that Tyreek Hill needs to average 100 yards at least every single game for us to win these games, right?
No, I'm just saying that stat says that. I didn't say shit, Ali.
Okay, the stat is what you're saying says that. Okay, I understand. I'm sorry if I interpret it wrong. I'm just the reason I'm bringing this up is because, one, everybody here bitches that we get the ball to Tyreek too much. So
casuals.
Really, yeah, well, I understand. In addition to that, I do think that other players need to step up when Tyreek isn't. We're not hitting him. You know what I mean? They need to pick up the slack. But here's the other part of it that I kind of want to talk about more so. Does it have to be 100 passing yards? Or can it be 100 all-purpose yards?
You're talking about getting them on like a sweep or something like that?
You might want to go with 150 if you're talking all-purpose, Ollie.
The reason I'm bringing this up is because when they do run a jet sweep, either be Waddle or Tyreek, it actually works every time.
Are you talking about an end around or a jet sweep? Because a jet sweep is a passing play.
Okay, jet. I was just giving example of.
I understand. I'm just saying it would go under passing yardage.
End arounds, he's not as successful on, right? But jet sweeps. Or handing it off as a jet sweep, both of those, he's very, very successful at. My point is that if Tyreek Hill is, do you guys remember when we were trying to get Debo here? Everybody wanted Debo here, right? And we were like, oh, we could use him in the run game, passing game, you know, the Swiss Army knife. And then somebody made the comment that, well, Tyreek Hill is the original Debo. So if you're going to get Debo, why don't you get the OG original guy? Right. Well, we have the original guy. Why don't we use him in that fashion? Like everyone says that we were going to use Debo at. Why can't we use him the same way? Use him in the running game. Use him in the passing game. Do you understand what I'm saying?
So I do understand what you're saying. But I mean, look, to be honest, I don't think Tyreek as a Miami Dolphin has been so effective on sweep plays or anything behind the sticks as not. And I don't really want my smaller bodied, big dollar wide receiver to be down there where a D tackle can get his hands.
Right.
On.
Those other teams weren't constructed in a way, Ali, where they can do the same thing. You know what I mean?
And remember who Tyreek Hill was when he was doing it. He was doing it early. He was innovative when they used him in this manner. The way
and
that
he's
they
the
did.
Only one on the team that could do that stuff.
And he was the only one that could do it, and it caught teams sleeping. The,
like now
the
we got
A-Chain,
we got Malik Washington.
He was young. There's a lot of factors of why it worked then and it doesn't work now.
Okay, well, I'm glad you brought that up, Color, because both of those narratives work into what I'm trying to talk about.
Right.
I just told you just a few moments ago that we need those players like A-Chan and Jalen Wright and Waddle to step up to pick
up. Well, Ollie, you're absolutely right. That's what I meant by supplement. We're not supplementing Tyreek so that when the defense is key in on him because he is that guy, there's nobody to pick up that slack and say, okay, well, we're going to threaten you this way because you're taking out the guy that does win us all the ball games. So in other words, on those games where Tyreek didn't get over 100 yards and we lost, I'd be curious to see if the production out of our other receivers was any better or worse than it is when Tyreek does get over 100 yards. Because if in the games where he doesn't, if we saw an increase in those other players, first of all, likely we wouldn't have got that many losses and it would see what the fans are really when let me fine tune, at least for myself, what the fans are saying when they're saying we can't force feed to Tyreek. When the defense keys in on Tyreek and it's obvious that they're good enough to lock him down, we still force it into him. Mm-hmm. And so in the games where he doesn't get over 100 yards, I'd be curious to see how many incompletions go to him as well in those games. Because we're forcing it to him instead of saying, okay, Buffalo's D's got him locked down today. Forget it. Let's do this, that, and the other. And if we did, maybe McDaniel hadn't ever felt the confidence in the players behind him. I don't know. But we got Waddle. We got Malik Washington now. You know, we got Achane. We got other guys that can that we should be utilizing. And, you know, that's what Tua telegraphed himself as well, something he needed to work on this offseason. So, you know. Rubber's got to meet the road.
We definitely need to utilize the other players and supplement them, like you said, and, you know, be efficient at that. I don't agree with El Cap's take that, you know, we need to get Tyreek the ball as much as possible so he can get over.
So that's average. What I was trying to get at. It's more to an ideology sense, right?
Okay.
Are you going to use Tyreek Hill to scheme up everyone else open, or are you using everyone else to scheme up Tyreek Hill to mismatches? And that's the latter is what I think this team needs to do with the information we have possessed. Not that I need him to go 100 every game, because that's the real stat I want to improve.
Right.
That 1-8 where he didn't go over 100, that needs to be more like 4-4 or 4-5. Well, yeah,
I don't think it's a small coincidence that those teams that do key in on Tyreek, where we end up trying to force it into him, or happen to be the teams with good defenses and the teams that are quote unquote good that we can't seem to beat. Like, so in those situations, we need to reverse the strategy and be using Tyreek to open up everybody else, which is happening naturally anyway, because they're triple and quadrupling Tyreek. You know what I mean?
Typically those teams have the same thing with commonality. Number one, they've got somebody up front that can create havoc and or
right, help. So that there's no time to find those other guys. Yeah, I could see that.
That guy. And whether it's clogging up the middle so it isn't a problem and they only have to account for the outsides, or it's a guy that is creating havoc and the timing is never going to be there.
Right. But what about
they also have to possess.
But what about if you're changing roles at the line of scrimmage? Like, in other words, you know, trust in a guy like Berrios or Craycraft to say, okay, on this play, I'm the Tyreek, so that while they're over here keying on Tyreek, I'm the first read.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing I'm hoping.
Well, that's what a West Coast offense is supposed to run like. That's its purpose.
That's what I'm hoping that this team will change by, is going, look, not that, oh, they're keying in on Tyreek. Let's go at somebody else now. I want us to go to other people to get Tyreek on mismatches. I would rather see Tyreek get 5 targets with 4 or 5 catches that were getting him to 100 yards than having Tyreek catch 10 of 12 targets to get 115 yards. You know what I'm saying? And I still want Tyreek to – I want to have my cake and eat it too. That's right. Fuck y'all. I don't care. I want to have my cake and eat it too. And the what I want is Tyreek Hill to be schemed open by the weapons we now possess at all 3 levels.
Hellcat. Just
going
so
side
know.
To side, dink and dunk, you know, putting the ball on all hashes, because that's what the West Coast is, using every inch sideline to sideline, getting him to then be able to find on offset over coverages to him, catch them sleeping at the wheel, bro. Catch them sleeping at the wheel and just hit them on some freaking stupid bombs. And just now you do that and it's like, oh, it's the close to the end of the first quarter. Tyreek hasn't had a single target. You forgot that's Tyreek Hill over there, because we've been chewing you up all over the place. Your safety's cheating in. He saw us do this alignment earlier. If we try to go to that second read that was in front of him, he's going to get it this time. Up, oh, you messed up. Tyreek Hill isn't coming on the fucking slant no more. Now he's on a straight go, and your dudes out there hung out to dry. You cook one over the top, and now you're up 14 points on them going into the second quarter, and you've taken the piss out of this football team. You know what I'm saying? That's what I want to see done. And then once those things are hit, I want this team to be disciplined, especially on offense. I want us to run. I want us to chew up clock. I want us to keep our defense fresh. That's what I want. I want it all. What's up, Shay?
Not much, man.
El Cap,
hey, man, check us out, dog.
Hold on 1 second. El Cap, real quick. You said you wanted to have your cake and eat it too. Well, we got a chef in the audience that can do that for you.
That's right. I do know Chef Zhu will cook it up with the tasty treats. That's the word on the streets.
And he'll make a good steak with it too.
Yeah. What were you gonna say, Shay?
No. Finally, listen. I figured you got your staple with the purple jacket.
Yeah.
This gotcha. Is my staple right here, the Aqua Guayabera.
I kind of wish I had that Cuban shirt in orange underneath this jacket right now. I would feel so cool. Put a bow tie on there or some shit. Looking slick, dude.
Yeah. This is my new staple. So
I love it.
The Smoke Lounge. I'm going to have Pedro, the fantastic painter, Larry K. You know, Lou is going to be on there. My man Crypto. So tomorrow, Smoke Lounge is going to be popping.
Hell yeah.
Do you want to play rough? Okay. Uno. Say hello to my little friend.
Just a quick preview of tomorrow's show. That's awesome.
And I got the cigar on deck. So,
yeah. Hell yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. Also, Insomnia. It's gonna be Crypto and I versus Tony and Lou.
That's not fair. You and Crypto are gonna body Tony and Lou.
Yeah,
you're gonna obliterate those poor guys.
We're gonna go live. Yeah, so Insomnia is gonna be on twice a week. We're gonna go live, and then we're gonna, of course, do our pick 'em episode. So,
yeah, I gotta, man. People have been asking about a fantasy football league, bro. I don't think we got it in us. You know, KP can't do it like he did last year. So I don't know. We'll have to. We got till tomorrow to think about it. I don't think we're gonna do it this year. We can skip it this year. Maybe we'll do like a weekly fantasy lineup, and like maybe everybody can do that, right?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, yeah, my fantasy football is that we win a playoff game. God damn it.
Yeah, dog. I we're dialed in with this other stuff. Maybe we'll do
on Saturday.
What's that?
Saturday Night Lights.
You're doing a fantasy football league.
We're doing fantasy DraftKings.
For
weekly lineups. All right, yeah. Well, let's just do the weekly lineups, bro.
You know, Cap, you could also create a Finn's Tailgate DraftKings account or use yours because I know sometimes they have problems if a person creates two different ones. But you know, we could do like private tournaments too, where it's like, you know,
yeah, I know we might want to do that. So. Yeah, Color. We talked about that last year. I might need your help to swing something like that this year, and me, you, and Ali and Shake, and we can figure it out. Because I'm not gonna do the league. I still gotta get Miss Finn's the champion of TFTG. There will be no one opposing Miss Finn. She'll be a champion for a full season. She'll be able to rep it for a full season. I'll have to get with her. I still gotta give her title belt. That I had a company that was gonna make it, and they kind of dicked me on the whole fucking deal. And everyone I want is going to cost me like $250. I've just been putting it off, dude.
Talk to Hooked Up Joe. He might be able to fashion something like that.
I don't know, man. I'm going to look into it, but I got to get it to her here directly. But no fantasy football. We'll do weekly lineups. I like that better. And we'll just do fantasy segments. Same thing with Brandon the Bookie. I'm going to have him give me his picks, and I'm going to have like a segment, and I'll pull up a graphic. Maybe he can come in or something like that, but I'll have the picks. So it'll be dope. So, another thing I wanted to talk about, as you know, we're less than 48 hours away from actual football. Dolphin schedule, right? We've already made our earlier predictions when the schedule first was released. Looking back now, heading into week one, how are we looking at this schedule, ladies and gentlemen?
Brutality.
I don't like the early bye week, but considering how injured the team is going into week one, it might be all right, right? You know what I'm saying?
For me,
none of them games are easy.
changed. It hasn't changed at all. It's still what I expected. You know, there's going to be the first two or three tests. And then after that, it's a whole like couple weeks of easy, pretty easy games. And then the playoffs start week 13, just like I said originally. So I'm going with that.
Not to mention, you know what? I think we, one thing about the bye weeks is we don't start good off the bye weeks. We're like real slow and then ramp it up. So yeah, we don't do really too good at well historically with McDaniels after the bye week. So I'm glad.
Yeah, almost thinking like, yeah, if we go on a run shake after the bye, then at least we won't be interrupted by a bye, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll be, if we're hot, you know, we want to stay hot and keep playing.
So I'm going to go through it rather quickly again, cuz I know
think any one of these games is a cakewalk, dude.
So I have us winning the first five games right off rip. In fact, I don't have us losing till week 9 against the Bills.
You guys are crazy.
I'm dead serious. I do. I can see how we could drop a game to the Seahawks and or the Colts, you know, but playing the Colts on the road after a bye, playing the Seahawks, albeit in their house, we've got the long stretch. As long as we take care of business week 1 and week 2, I don't see how the freaking Titans beat the Dolphins in back-to-back years on Monday Night Football. If that happens, I'm going to lose my shit. The Patriots suck. So other than us coming to the Cardinals in the 8th week on a, you know, winning 7 in a row and playing at home against the Cardinals, are they just going to be a brand new team? I don't think so. So I think we win that. It's not until week 9 that I think we'd suffer our first loss against the Bills. And when I look at the LA Rams on Monday night in their house, that's probably a loss, right? It's either that one's a loss or the at home against the Raiders is a loss. Don't know yet, right? Don't know. So what do we have? We have 8-9 with 2 losses. 10. We beat week 12. We beat the Patriots. Lose week 13. Win week 14. And I say from 15, 16, 17, and 18, those are all losses. And that would be just like the Dolphins to go on a 4-game slide with 11 wins coming into the final week of the season against the Jets. They're on a 3-game slide. If they win week 18, they'll get 12 wins. And with AFC divisional opponent wins, they will win the number 1 seed and kick the Jets out of the playoffs. This will be the scenario that comes up for the final. This is what I'm listen to what I'm telling everybody right now. Someone needs to clip this, okay? The Dolphins will come into week 18 in New York with 11 wins, needing one more to be number 1 in the AFC. The Jets kicked out if the Dolphins win. The Dolphins win the division, win the AFC, all that stuff. Meanwhile, if they lose, they don't get the AFC number 1. They can only get number 2. And if the Bills win, they could also get kicked down to not winning the division. And then also the Jets need to win this game to get into the playoffs. They win, they're in. They lose, they're out. And all of what I just stated to you will be on the line week 18 for the Miami Dolphins. And I'm picking them to win 11 wins heading into week 18. Will this team win 12 wins and get everything I think it needs to get to make a real run for the Super Bowl? That'll be determined in that week, honestly. Because if not, we have given up all of the power we'll have had in week and the first week of the playoffs with home field advantage, a bye week, winning the division, best team in the AFC, all that shit. we put it in peril by hoping to get number two and potentially sliding to number five. That's what'll be on the line. And the Dolphins will have the exact schedule that I just picked. What do you think?
Well, first of all, we're going 3-2 before the bye.
We're going 3-2 before the bye. Who do you have us dropping games to?
I have us dropping one or the other to either the Jags or the Bills. We'll say the Bills because I don't want to say we're losing this week. So we'll say the Bills. Then I think we bounce back on a long plane ride out to Seattle and beat them.
So, Color, you're backed out of your position that you said during our break.
No. I think that Seattle's still that dangerous team. You know what I mean? Sure. No,
but you had us undefeated going into Seattle, so now you've backed out. Maybe I did. But
that was you know, a month or so ago when things were really early. But I'm saying we go, we rebound, we get all our shit right on the plane ride out to Seattle. We beat them. Then we're freaking 2-1, so that makes us 2-1, flying all the way back home to face our Monday night nemesis, the Titans, and we're just going to be beat down and jet lagged, and they're gonna win. And then we're gonna rebound that, go up to New England, and kick their ass going into the bye. And
can I ask a question? What the hell did you do with Color? I want Color back. This isn't Color. I want the Color that was on that show, because that Color on that show had some real balls. This guy, I don't know. Mr. Pessimistic.
Man, I just know that, like, all the years I've watched us play, there is something that you can bet your freaking farm on, and that's a long trip out to the West Coast affecting us, either when we get out there or the next game back when we return.
In this case,
we're returning to face the Titans on Monday night. You know,
a long trip doesn't mean anything. We went to SoFi Stadium and beat up the Chargers last year, first game of the season.
We also went out there. We also went out there and dropped two in a row to the Niners in the
that was Chargers. That was the year before.
Yeah, I know.
My point is that we've already proven we can win out there. I'm not that doesn't bother me.
I'm still jaded from the Jacksonville debacle back in the day, back in 99.
I know, but we've already beat them since then.
So finish up, Color. Finish up the remainder of the season.
So then you go into the next section, the next four games, Colts, Cardinals, Bills, Rams. I think we rectify it, finally beat the Bills in their house in week 9. And from having done that, we're going to be on such a high. We'll go out to LA and beat the Rams. They're still kind of middling around, even though they think they're getting better. They're just kind of middling around.
I think that's the game that really, to me, and I'm sorry to cut you off, right?
No problem.
The Dolphins go on an 8-game winning streak, and they lose against the Bills in Buffalo. And then, you know, in a close game, and then the Monday night game, they lose against LA. That was my original thing. And both those games, emotionally draining and physically draining, against a divisional opponent and against one that meant a lot against your coach and stuff. Yeah. And I think they lose either they might win the LA game, and then that's the reason they drop the Raider game. But that stretch of three games has that tail baked into the story. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
and all of this run is why they're only able to put together two more wins out of the final 7 weeks or 6 weeks. You know what I'm saying?
So coming out of the bye, I think we get up and we beat the Colts. I know everybody thinks they're kind of a trap and whatnot, but I think we beat them coming out of the bye. And then we come home to face the Cardinals, and Kyler Murray balls out all over us, but we freaking eke it out and beat him at home because of our defense. And then, of course, we rectify the Bills in their house, because as the season drags on and they start to get people with injuries and all that, they don't have no depth, bro. So we'll be able to nip them finally in their house in week 9. again, we either go out to Los Angeles and lose, or we go out there riding a high and win. If that happens, then we come back home and lose to Gardner Minshew. And then, of course, we beat New England at home. So where am I at now? 3, 2, 4, 5, 6. I'm at 7-3. 8-3 if you count the Patriots, right? Then we go out to Green Bay, and it's freaking murderously cold. And we actually win that game. Because Tua puts some heating pads, he goes to the local gas station in Green Bay and buys some of those hand warmers and puts them in his freaking, in his pants.
Cool.
And beats Green Bay. And then we come back home to face the Jets for the first time in the season. So we're at 9-3 now. And we beat them at home. Aaron Rodgers thinks he's going to do his thing. He might not even be playing by then. And then we go to Houston and get ever-loving embarrassed by the Texans and get rolled over. And we lose that game. So what, we're 10-4 now. And then we come back home licking our wounds against San Francisco and put them to bed. Brock
Mike McDaniel revenge tour, huh? Jeez.
Yep. We put Brock Purdy on his ass all day. So that's 11-4. Right? And then we go out to Cleveland, and I'm sorry, people, but I think Deshaun Watson, if he stays healthy, is going to put it together this season. And I don't like our chances of beating Cleveland at all. They've proven to have a decent defense over the last couple of seasons, although we have been able to beat Cleveland.
Yeah. But you know what?
We face them. So
here's the thing. As Cleveland, as an advisor, I was just thinking about this today. Cleveland, as an advisor, has McDaniel's boogeyman, Mike Vrabel.
Right.
So he's going to tell let him know how to attack our offense.
So that puts us at 11. And I want to give us that win. And then we go up to New York when nothing matters and beat the Jets, and that leaves us at 12-4. So that's, Ali, that's only a slight adjustment from my original 12-5 that puts us at, right?
I think so. No, I think you're around the same color as what you're saying now, but you had us winning and losing against different teams.
Right, but I'm still at about the same 13-4, 12-5. Again, yeah. This is expectation.
I get what you're saying. You were throwing me off when you had us lose, possibly losing in the first two games, or one or the other.
I think. I just don't want it to be this week because, you know, it's opening week, and I want to.
I get that. I understand. Here's the thing, though. Knowing what's going on in Buffalo. And knowing the Jags, there's no reason why we can't win both games, bro.
Well, that's true. Again, expectation-wise, there isn't any reason why we shouldn't win both.
So what was the final consensus, Color?
Well, it looks
like 12-5.
Yeah, 12-5.
So you have us – I didn't hear you.
Exactly what it was at last year, wasn't it?
You have us winning that week 18?
Yeah, he does.
Okay. No, I was at 13-4 last year.
Yeah, I hope God we don't have to win it, but he has us beating the Jets, you know, in week 18.
So to me,
that's going to be Skylar Thompson's Super Bowl.
The week 18, why?
Because we won't need to play Tua. We'll have everything wrapped up where we're going to be, and we won't have
so
to
you
play.
You think there's a we won't be number one. With 11 wins, there's no way.
but we we might be locked in at a certain seed, though.
Locked in at the 2 seed or something?
Or 3, you know, whatever.
But yeah, but he...
I'm saying 12 wins and somebody else loses as you move up the board. Because to me, being the 2 seed is insurmountably higher than being the 3 seed. It just is. You control your destiny. You don't have to play outside of your home until unless you have to play the 1 seed, in which case, fine. Let them take a hard road traveled like you do, you know? The Dolphins have to play for the number 1 or the number 2 seed. And to me, it's going to all come down.
Might be good enough. I mean,
it's going to come down to us being the number 1 or at best the number 2 in a loss to the Jets with a potential to slide all the way down to 5.
Well, if we have a chance, to go from 3-1 against the Jets in week 18, then yeah, 2 is playing, obviously, you know. But if we're locked in at the 3 seed or the 1 seed even, you know, and it's like we can't go nowhere no matter what happens, then we'll treat it no different than as if we were locked in at the 1.
What do you think, Shake? Not too loud, Shake.
Not too much, I guess.
Yeah.
My bad. I forgot I had the mic off. I'll say that I like 12. I'm 12-5. I have us at 12-5. So
do you have which are your 5 losses?
Definitely Green Bay would be 1.
All right.
I can see San Francisco.
Damn, we got to watch them lose on Thanksgiving. San Francisco at home. Okay, that's 2.
Houston.
All right, 3.
The Rams. And the last week, because we rest our starters to the Jets.
Week 18. Because we rest our starters.
Yeah. Because we don't
see, now that makes sense to me. If we're resting our starters because we, you know, I don't like us losing on Monday Night Football and on Thanksgiving, but we did win on Monday night, Thursday night, and Sunday night. We got some prime time this year, boys.
Mm-hmm.
We got some prime time.
And see, the reason the reason I picked those games is because I noticed that he doesn't do McDaniels doesn't do good against Shanahan disciples.
It's true. There is a disconnect. I'm hoping that this is the year that Weaver has something to say about that, right? Like, yeah, this is the year of Weaver.
Houston's coach, he was a defensive coordinator while he was the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I like the addition of Weaver for
what's
sure.
Hold on a second. What's Mike McDaniel's record against the Jets? Where he's like 3-1, right?
Yeah,
3-1.
You talking about a Tim Boyle led Jets team or
let's just remember the Jets are going to be a different football team.
I get you, but he said that he doesn't do well against Shanahan disciples. Yeah. So that's coach to coach. We own the Jets, so that
again.
One out of what? Out of he we lost to.
I'm just saying that, you know.
Well,
is that a Shanahan disciple? Because Shanahan's offensive.
He'd be losing too.
Well, check this out. I did a little deep dive last night. The last time that Calais Campbell, the only 2 years that Calais Campbell had like 10 plus sacks were 2 years in Jacksonville when they went deep in the playoffs. There was another player in the secondary on that defense of the name Jalen Ramsey.
That is true.
The last time these two were together on the field in a defense together was under a coach, a defensive coordinator named Todd Wash, and the head coach was Doug Marrone.
Yeah, Doug Marrone.
Anthony Weaver is listed as having worked under Doug Maroon. Anthony Weaver was also the defensive line / defensive coordinator under Bill O'Brien in Houston. That would mean that Anthony Weaver was the coach for one J.J. Watt.
A la Jalen Phillips. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm just saying we got a lot of good, like, acumen coming into the building on defense now, man, with this guy. And
I think once Weaver's defense gets rolling, right, it's going to be nice. I think we're going to find ourselves in the next 3 years with stability,
right,
at the defensive position. Young guy getting his opportunity, ready to make some noise, has a team that has a great offense, has a lot of pieces on defense, a hot football team. He's got to be thinking to himself, hey, I come here, I put together one of the best defenses around, and we make noise in the playoffs, I'm getting one of these head coaching jobs, right? And that's going to take minimum of 2 years, probably three, for that type of opportunity to open up.
You look at the roster back then for the Jags. You know, you had Campbell and Ramsey, but you also had AJ Bouye.
It's true.
You know what I mean? You had a couple other, but those guys, you got those guys here. Kendall Fuller.
Yes. Kendall Fuller and AJ Bouye are, you know, a lot similar in the way they play the game. Boyer,
that
is a great fucking lineup there.
Then you look at their other side of the ball. They had Leonard Fournette running the ball.
Jalen Wright.
You know, and their fullback was some kind of nobody, but he was good, but y'all wouldn't recognize his name.
Yeah, he's not Lasaka Polite.
Right. I mean, and they had Blake Bortles at quarterback.
Yep, who was a gunslinger mostly. You know now, what I'm saying?
I'm sorry. I don't care if you're Pete. You're not taking Blake Bortles over to it.
No, and it's the offensive scheme. It was different. It was a pro-style offense with, you know, push the ball down the field when you needed to and run and try to control the clock and let your defense do the work. They lost the
AFC Championship game.
Dude, they were Saxonville. Remember? Right. They were Saxonville. Right.
They lost the AFC Championship game 24-20 against the New England Patriots.
Yep.
And got robbed. A lot of people argue, you know, got robbed.
Definitely.
So I'm just saying, if you took out that Blake Bortles offense and plucked in ours, do you think it's even close to 24-20 that day?
No.
I mean, that's what we're looking at here. I know a lot of years have passed since them days.
The Patriots aren't even in that football
game color. That's the clout you're bringing to our young guys. You know, that's who they're now learning under and coming up under. It's guys like Jalen Ramsey, Calais Campbell.
Patriots team doesn't even play in that game because the Dolphins play the Jaguars in that game with that team.
I mean, I just like it. I like what we got going on defense, up and down, coaching staff, everything.
Crypto, what's up?
What's going on? Crypto, I'm only here to bring balance to the program.
Did you want to pick your schedule?
In other words, contrarianism.
All this jubilation and what you call it, I'd just rather bring balance to this.
Well, tell us why we're going 9-8 then, Crypto.
Yeah, Crypto, there's the schedule up on the screen. There's the schedule up on the screen. Make your prediction.
No, it won't be quite the what you call it. It'll be a one-game drop-off from last season. One game regression.
I have a question for you guys. Do you guys consider Sean McVay part of that Shanahan tree?
Nope.
Yes. No. Nope.
You do.
Crypto and I have been over this a dozen times. He was with Shanahan for a total of like 6 months out of his whole career.
Right.
So he's his own guy.
I'm sure he learned some things about the West Coast from him, sure. But he's definitely his own guy, in my opinion. Yeah. Isn't he the one we ended up tracing all the way back to Tom Landry?
Yeah, well, he was one of the group of people. Like, he comes from, originally. He started from Gruden.
Yeah, he's the Gruden. He's with the Gruden tree, man. More than Shanahan.
Yeah, he's more of a disciple of him. I think a lot of people want him to be color because of that. Gives us a
because of the West Coast, bro. Everybody associates Shanahan with the West Coast because Mike had so much success with
the dad, right? You know? Right. Junior had no success, but the dad is the one with all the success.
And also, they put it all together in Atlanta for a minute. Remember?
Well, you know? Let me ask this, because he was only under Gruden for 1 year.
I know that. But I'm saying it was longer than...
He was under Shanahan for 3 years.
Look at the position he held under Gruden as opposed to Shanahan.
I don't know. Let me look at that. He wasn't... Give me a second. Let me look.
And the other coaches...
He was an offensive assistant.
Right. So the other coaches also, Ali, the other coaches that McVay has worked with are also guys that are from the Gruden tree from other degrees of separation.
I see what you're saying. I guess for me, it's questionable because he was only with Gruden for 1 year as an offensive assistant, then went from there to coach the Florida Tuskers as a wide receivers coach. And then joined Washington Redskins and Shanahan as an offensive assistant in 2010, which he then became a tight ends coach, which he then
right,
became.
Right, but who was the head coach? Who was the head coach in Washington?
Did you guys know time? Jay Gruden was Shanahan. A Jay Gruden player for the Dolphins in '89?
Jay was with the Commanders.
Oh, Jay Gruden, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So, Crypto, give us your 10. You have 10 wins. Give us your 6 losses.
You mean 7?
Yeah, that too.
That too.
We expanded to 7. Crypto.
7 losses, Crypto.
It's going to come in any fashion. It's going to be a mix, or we're going to lose the last 7 games of the season. How about that?
Last 7 games, so from like... I mean, that's crazy. So from week 12 on, we're going to go 11-0 and drop 7 in a row.
Absolutely.
If that happens, that's going to make it
even more painful.
So you're predicting Tua Tagovailoa to get injured in week 11 or week 12 then?
I guess so.
No, I'm predicting him coming back and losing.
Unless coming you're back, like so Batman.
Tua goes down somewhere between week 1 and week 10. And the Dolphins still remain on a winning streak with backup quarterback Skylar Thompson, comes back week 11 or week 12 and begins the slide with Tua Tagovailoa as quarterback. That is your prediction?
Yeah, that's my bold take.
Wow.
That's my I'm channeling my
now inner. We know how you
This is a TFTG breaking news report. Crypto Dolphin predicting Tua Tagovailoa will go down with injury at some point between week 1 and week 10, resulting in Skylar Thompson, the backup quarterback, coming and playing, and the team remaining on a winning streak. But then when Tua Tagovailoa comes back sometime week 12, begins a 7-game slide with his ultimate prediction of 10-7 to the Miami Dolphins record for 2024. Thank you, and we will continue with our scheduled programming.
Well, now we know how
explain yourself.
Now we know how Crypto got the job at Pete's Network.
Yeah. Yeah, that was channeling my inner Pete. I had to do it for the team.
Yeah, I wish Pete was up here. I don't know why Pete's scared to come to the tailgate anymore.
Pete would have loved that take. I was
He's
trying
so
to channel him.
Scared of the tailgate. Pete used to come around all the time.
He comes on the drive time every from time to time.
He does on drive time, I will say. But he never, you know, yeah, Pete used to be lurking in chat till 1 a.m. around here. It's crazy that, you know, he's not the same Pete I once knew. It's crazy.
Pete said he's on a heavy recruiting campaign.
Is this CNN talking bullshit?
That's the comment of the day right there. Well, I don't know, boys. That's all I got for tonight. I'm gonna shut her down, but I think Crypto. I think we'll go out on a high take with Crypto, bringing it all the way home with the best take of the night. The only breaking news of the evening was from Crypto. Thank you, Crypto, for coming through and breaking it up. Everyone, hit the like button. Subscribe if you're new. If you're listening on Twitch, Twitter, X, Facebook, somehow. Listening to the Apple podcast, Spotify.
I got a hot take for Sunday's game, by the way.
All right, hold on. We'll get to that in just a moment. Make sure you guys are going to tftgnetwork.com and finding us over here on YouTube and subscribing and all that good stuff. Go ahead, Ali, with the final take of it.
My hot take is that the first touchdown is not scored by any star player that is trending to be the first touchdown scored.
Color had his prediction. He's going to steal your take, Color.
In gold?
It is Tanner Connor who scores.
Tanner Connor.
I thought he was going to go with Ingold. I thought he was going with Ingold.
Crypto, hey, actually, who's your surprise?
My first score?
Tanner Connor is going to
who,
my Crypto? First score is going to be Mostert.
Mostert, Shake hasn't. I don't know what yours was, Shake. I know Color picked Durham Smythe, which was crazy. Shake, what's your touchdown?
I'm gonna say I'm gonna go with the low hanging fruit and say Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill, yeah, that's
What
was mine?
That was a chalk pick.
Color, if
you went chalk on that one, you went chalk.
If Craycraft was healthy, Craycraft would have been my first pick, to be honest.
I think so, too. If Craycraft was playing, that's who I would have picked. Color, what was my pick? I can't even remember now for the first touchdown.
I don't know.
Braxton Berrios. That's what I said. Braxton Berrios.
Right.
That's who it's going to be.
Has he even scored a touchdown for us ever?
I don't even know, bro. Nope. I just know that that's when it's going to be on, you know, fucking first week one, Miami, 1 o'clock.
Robbie Chosen. We got one for Robbie Chosen.
Oh, shit. Robbie Chosen would be crazy, bro.
On a slant route, splitting the safeties, and boom.
Every single person that made
Denver
a bet.
Game, so.
Trent every Sherfield single person style. That lays a bet on the Dolphins lost and Vegas wins again.
Yeah,
I approve this message. I officially, presidentially approve this message right here.
I don't know. Well, because we have an injured wide receiving core, that's why we haven't cut him yet. But
have we cut Tua yet?
No, we haven't. Scummy asked.
Okay, I'm just trying.
Yeah, he asked. I already addressed it. All right, guys. Again, subscribe tftgnetwork.com. We'll see you guys next time. Peace.